Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us live on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com for all those people that might be listening in. My name is Peter. Last name is Mingles. We run this radio show. This is, radio show number 6,127, I think, plus or minus one or two, I think. So we've done a lot of radio shows on Building Fortunes. And let me tell you what I'm not going to talk about today. I am not going to talk about what Jackie and I were talking about before this radio show went live. So I promise you.
We would probably get more people to listen.
We might, but it would be the wrong crowd for the wrong reasons. So anyway, I'm telling you, they would listen. But anyway, so the reason why we're here is because I had a conversation with a good friend of mine. Her name is Jackie. And we were having conversations about lots of stuff, and I said, you know, this is really great information that you're providing, and you're such a great teacher, and you're such a great explainer, and, you know, you're one of those types of people where people like listen to you because they know they like you and they trust you and all those other reasons, and I'd love you to be able to jump on a radio show with us from time to time and do some radio shows on these types of topics. So we started off talking about trusts and asset protection and, you know, saving your investments in ways a lot of people don't know about. She talks about, you know, these really special bank accounts that are totally legit and totally worthwhile. But Jackie has a lot more information that we've been able to share on Building Fortunes Radio. So if you go to buildingfortunesradio.com, you can catch the previous radio shows, and I'll share with you. You're going to learn something on every one of the radio shows that you'll want to be able to share with people above you, like your parents, if they're still around, or grandparents, or people below you. I'm not just talking like uplines or downlines. I'm talking about people below you, like your kids or your grandkids. This is the stuff that people need to know, the stuff that should be spoken around kitchen tables, or used to maybe be spoken around kitchen tables if they ever knew it. And this is the sort of stuff that people who make money and want to keep it and protect their assets, they do. So I want to introduce Jackie, and we were talking about what we were going to talk about and got totally off track, but I do have a little bit of a topic for Jackie as we start our Building Fortunes Radio conversation. But Jackie, thanks for being here. You can tell everybody a little bit about you and nothing about what we were talking about before our radio show. Thank you.
Oh, darn. You know, I think on one of the calls I did talk about were how I started out, and that was like 20, 25 years ago, and it's probably, you know, one of the times that I had met you. I don't know if we had ever even met in person, but it was through an MLM company that we were involved in. But anyways, and we just kind of hit it off, and we enjoyed each other's company and talking and our brainstorming and et cetera, et cetera. And so we just started staying in touch and running things by each other. And you've been forever with the leads, and I used, when I was involved with multi-level marketing, I always promoted you because you're the only one that did any qualified leads that haven't been rehashed and dead MLMs. And I think you've got some of those, you know, the cheaper leads, but you generate live leads. And so you're the only one that I know of and or the best for anybody who's working an MLM company, because leads are real key. The kind of thing that I do and have been doing for the last 20, 25 years is it's been involving credit and debt. And there's so many branches of what I've been doing that just kept branching out. And whatever I wanted to get into, I would find somebody who was an expert on it, and I would, you know, have them mentor me. And then I would start finding out more things on my own and adding that to my repertoire of things. And these are things that everybody, like Peter said, I don't know if you would sit and talk about it at the kitchen table with young kids, but unfortunately, you don't learn about this stuff in school. You don't know whether even if it's in college, you don't learn about it, especially in grammar school or high school. And years back, I don't even think parents would even want to talk to their kids about any kind of finances because it was embarrassing. And everybody listening needs to really understand that there's nothing embarrassing about going through any kind of financial distress, because everybody at one time or another, even the most wealthy of people, go through it, you know, either from a job layoff, a divorce, or a medical problems. And I think people, in fact, I've got a very, very good friend from almost 20 years that is European, and we talk every 2 weeks for about an hour, and we've talked about this, that Americans are always, we live on credit card. There are, you know, if somebody is foreign and they come into this country, they come from that mentality of no credit cards, because that's what the Europeans don't believe in, credit cards. So they come in here and they actually have no credit is as good as bad credit. So they really have no credit to get anything. So it's almost a push with all those prepaid, pre-approved credit cards that come in the mail for everybody to go out and buy. And we also live in an instant society where we don't want to wait for things. We don't want to start building up money to accumulate to buy that new couch or to buy that new car or to buy that bigger house. And we want bigger and faster and more. And with all this new telecommunication stuff with the iPhones and the smartphones and everything so smart, which I don't find to be so smart. We want faster planes. We want more of everything. And we're going to give our kids, especially if you've got young kids or you know of families that have young kids, we're going to give them everything either that we didn't have or everything that comes out, because we think that's being a good parent. And what's going on is we're teaching our kids how to perpetuate the economy that we have right now, where everybody's in a financial bind. I was just telling Peter, one of the little things that we were talking about is that I don't remember if it was Jack Canfield or the other one who wrote the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, but
Mark
he
Victor
once
Hansen.
Said, if you, who, what?
Mark Victor Hansen.
Mark Victor Hansen, and they wrote a lot of books, but one of the times of the things that, it's one of the many, many, many books that I've read or videos or audios that I've listened to, and because I'm always learning learning and increasing my education and knowledge. People have asked me, am I ever going to stop? No, because that keeps you alive, and it keeps you from getting dementia, too. Even if you stop working, the more you keep reading and you keep growing, and that's a real key thing if you want to stay alive and active. And I'm sure everybody's got their own definition of what being alive is. But I don't want to live to be 90, 95, or 100 years old and can't do anything for myself. Or don't even remember, or you know, my memory's lost with things that have happened to me, even if I ate breakfast that morning. So I think it's starting for me, because I can't remember what I ate for breakfast this morning. Anyways, but I'm just saying to you, mine is because I'm always doing and grow. It's part of growing and learning. So it's not that I'm still going to school, but I'm going to my, I call it my school on wheels, because every time I get into my car, I put in a CD, some kind of an educational CD, or I buy a book on asset protection, or I buy a book on second passports, second citizenships. You know, I'm not saying that I'm the expert on the offshore stuff, although I do know quite a lot. But what I do is for the last 20 years is try and help people understand how to protect and to keep the assets that they do have. And even if it's just your own body, which is your health, your car, you don't have to have millions of dollars of assets to want to keep it. And unless you don't care about keeping anything you have, then don't worry about getting any asset protection. But for those who like are paying to buy off their house, you know, like a friend of mine this evening actually said, you know, you have a house at least. She said she didn't have anything. I said, no, I don't have a house. You know, Robert Kiyosaki said, you know, a lot of people think that, oh, I can't wait to buy a house. The point is, a house is not an asset. It's a liability. Anything that you have to keep feeding all the time is considered a liability. So what does owning a house mean? Owning a house means that I pay the real estate taxes. I'm getting a little bit of interest when I pay my mortgage. They're getting a little bit of principal. The banks are getting a whole lot of interest from me paying my principal. I have to pay my real estate tax, my homeowner's insurance. I have to pay somebody to blow the snow, which I live in Illinois. I have to pay landscapers to mow my lawn. I have to, like, any appliance that breaks down, you have to pay for. If I want painting, I have to pay for. So I hope people are following. This is not an asset. An asset is like owning gold. I don't have to feed gold. Owning silver, owning precious, any kind of precious metals, loose diamonds, famous paintings, Bitcoin. Those are considered assets because you don't have to feed it any more money in order for it to maintain its value. You know, sure, the value is going to go up or down based on what the market will bear at that time. But there are, like I said, it's no different than having an apartment. I think if I had to do over, Peter, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this too, is, you know, we got all this from our parents, is like, save up your money as fast as you can to buy a home. So now you own your home, or you're paying to, this is what I like to say, I'm paying to own my home. But if you think, even once you've paid off your home, that you own your home, you best think about, if you ever miss paying your real estate taxes one time, or even, I don't know how they give you, I think they give you a leeway, say 1 year's worth of real estate taxes, you see how fast you own this home that you've just paid off. I can buy your tax lien for $1,500, $6,000. That's about tops. I can own a $150,000 home. There's a whole business made on that.
You know,
that people are doing are buying people's homes for tax liens.
I've never really understood that, because I know in the local newspaper you see tax liens or tax lien sales, and it's over and over and over. There's dozens of them. Sometimes it seems like there's 100 of them. And that's what those are.
It's the economy. There's a lot of them.
Right, so those are people that didn't pay their property taxes.
Their real estate taxes, correct.
Right, so now what happens is the government can... So what can happen then?
The county sells, is now able to sell off that property. Now, I don't care how much equity you have, and you might have owned it completely, paid it off. But that's... Real estate taxes are something you have to pay for, whether you've paid off your home or not paid off your home. And if you don't pay the real estate taxes, then the house, the bank wants to, you know, the bank, if you still have a mortgage on it or whatever, the bank can sell off your property. The assessor's office, I don't know if I said that or not, sell off your property for the cost of what the real estate taxes are that you owed and didn't pay.
That's insane. So if you see somebody...
I know it's insane. It's a viable business, though, for some people to go after these people who have not paid their taxes and buy their property.
So they buy the property, house and all? Like if you see a tax lien, I'm just going to say $2,500. So if somebody's got a tax lien for $2,500 and you buy that tax lien, you get the house and everything?
That's correct.
Wow.
I actually went through several of the seminars and stuff learning about this. You see, I would have done it differently because I couldn't live with myself if I took somebody's house away and hadn't forced them to move out. I would have done is, first thing I would have asked that person is, do you want to keep your house?
Right.
And but one of the most viable ways of earning an income or a new business is to buy these tax liens because you can get 18% interest. Every county, every state is a little bit different. You can get 18% interest on your money now. Where can you get 18% interest now on your money? You can turn it around. Like I said, I would have asked that person, I would have leased it back to them or rented it back to them until they could afford to pay me off for what I put out or whatever number I decided. It could be a couple of $1,000s more for my time or whatever. And they would have had their property. Then they would own their property free and clear. See, it'd be a great way if we all pulled together and worked it that way.
Wow, I never thought about that.
Yeah, so there is a great way without building bad karma. But there are people, I mean, it's just like even when I talk to somebody about they have bad credit or they can't pay their bills or something like that, and I'll say to them, but, you know, one of the first things is, let's just say they're in a foreclosure. Let's try that. That's a lot easier to understand. One of the first things that you have to ask somebody is, do you want to stay in your home? You can't believe when I've asked that of when I've done consultations, how many people have said to me, no, I don't really care. We're assuming that everybody wants to stay in their home.
Well, there's lots of what are some of the reasons why somebody might leave? It could be divorce, could be financial, could be medical.
They couldn't afford to keep it, number
couldn't
one.
Couldn't afford to keep it, right?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, especially in California, Peter, I mean, I have so many clients that are from California that have lost their homes and they're renting and they're paying more for rent than they paid for their mortgage on a monthly basis and they're living in a fraction of the size.
Right.
But they don't have the real estate taxes and they don't have a lot of the extra expenses. That's the problem. It's those extra expenses that are killing people with buying a home. I see it all the time in my neighborhood. These young people come in. They, you know, I even saw it with my own daughter, and I didn't teach my kids this way, so I don't know where they got it from, because if we didn't have the money to buy something, they didn't get it. But they buy this big house, and everybody's following their neighbors and doing things. And I know my daughter moved into a new house like 16, 17 years ago. It was brand new. Has painted 3 times the whole house, and she's got a big house. You know, she has changed the kitchen and countertops and cabinets 2 times. And, you know, I'm here 24 years, and I still have builder white on my walls. For those who don't understand, builder white is what the builder puts on when you first buy a house. You know, these are big expenses. She changed her toilets, her brand-new toilet. She had 3 brand-new toilets she put to the curb of the street. And I go, for what reason? They weren't cracked. They weren't broken. She said the opening in the toilet wasn't big enough. She went after 5 years and bought a new stove. Why'd you get a new stove? She said the other old one was dirty. I'm not kidding you, folks.
And these
Peter,
these people
your
passed,
mouth open.
These people passed through your body. I mean, these people.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I'm still looking for their real parents. They can't be my kids. You know, my daughter keeps saying to me, she says, "You can't be my real mom." I said, "You're absolutely right. I'm still looking for your real parents, and nobody's laid claim to you yet."
Wow. Wow.
I don't know. This is what I'm trying to say. It's lesson taught in school. Here, I taught them. If we don't have the money, you don't buy it, but you have that plastic. But that plastic, meaning credit card, has to be paid for at the end of the month. They're typical of that generation, though. And I know, Peter, I don't know where you fit in that generation.
Well,
but
they
want more, and they want it now, and they don't want to wait.
Right. I remember when I was in direct sales and direct sales management and making a lot of money. And, you know, it was new money and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, we did a lot of stupid stuff with money, especially around cars, you know, luxury cars, leasing luxury cars.
Yeah, men with those cars, yeah.
Yeah, but no, it wasn't even for me. It was for my wife. I wanted my wife to have a nice car. I wanted her to, you know, drive safely. She had the kids. I was kind of maybe backwards. I was never into cars. So, like, there was no Corvette or BMW in my life. I wanted something. I was more or less functional because I was in vacuum cleaner sales. So, for me, you know, SUV was perfect. So, but I just remember all the money that I threw away on the Mercedes-Benzes. You know, or the Jaguars.
Oh my, well, you know, there is some legitimacy to getting a Mercedes. There is. Mercedes is one of the few cars that retains its value even the first year.
Yeah, and when I was doing it, it was just stupid stuff because we were just leasing. You know,
weren't getting the value of that, yeah.
Yeah, and even I had a couple of Jaguars when not all in the row.
Oh, God, Peter.
Went from one to another. And it was just, like, retarded, excuse the language, but it was just, like, the amount of money that I spent was just crazy. Now, again, it's all relative. You know, if you're making a couple of $100,000 a year, a Jaguar may be totally appropriate. But I just look back and say, you know what? Maybe I should have bought a used one instead of a brand new one. Maybe I should have bought.
Oh, for sure.
You know, just the money.
For sure.
The money questions. So I get how some people just, you know, if it's rolling in and you think it's rolling in forever, you're going to do some stuff. And it's not very smart. Not very smart.
You know, you just brought up the key point. That's what the key thing is. The people that are making money think that it is. They have job security, they think. And I keep telling my daughter and her husband, she's over a little over 50. He's about 5 years younger than her, so he's just about 50. And I keep telling him, the closer you get to 50, your chances of getting let go become greater because they can buy somebody fresh out of college for half the money.
Right.
So, and if you really want job security, it's not for everybody. And I don't know if we've talked about this or not, but, you know, be self-employed. And you have to be hard on yourself. I know I'm probably the hardest boss on myself than I could find any other boss. I mean, sure, I have more free time. I can wake up when I want to. I can move around my schedule to do things. But if you don't take it seriously, so for those of you who have a home-based business or a side business or whatever, it's a wonderful way to reduce your tax, your household tax liability down to even zero.
Yep. Now, okay. So
by having a home-based business.
So remember, before we got into this conversation, I told you I had a conversation I wanted to bring up. This is a totally appropriate time to bring this up. So I got to set this up. So
okay.
I'm watching the Democratic debates, and regardless of my political persuasion, I'm watching the Democratic debates, and I'm hearing Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and everybody else talking about, you know, Medicaid or Medicare for all and all this stuff as if, like, the money grows on trees, you know, just add more water. And, you know, taxes going up. And you just know that means everything they're saying is taxes are going up. And one of the things I don't think I've ever spoken about on our radio show, I know on ours, Jackie, but I'm talking about even ever, was the idea that when you're a 1099, you get your money first. You
yep.
get your money first. And that's the same thing as a business owner. I get my money first, and then I give what's appropriate to the government. As opposed to when I'm an employee, they take
the
money
mercy.
First. Well, they take the money first.
Right.
And then
you're at the mercy of your company and the government.
Right. So for those people, you know, you're talking about whatever the FICA stuff is and the Social Security stuff, they take that first. You know,
mm-hmm.
it comes out of your – it comes out and you're going to have whatever the withholdings are going to be. And as an employee, if these changes happen, the government takes more of your money first. And you have little to say about it. If you are a business owner or a 1099 by being a network marketing distributor or something along that line, if you're a 1099 employee, you get your money first and then you figure out what you're supposed to give to the government. So there's a huge level of control that I've never really spoken about on a radio show because it might have been inappropriate, meaning just didn't fit the topics. But when we're talking about asset protection and you're talking about the things that you're talking about, and I'm saying things like, you know, I was stupid with my money when I was younger, you know, just, you know, what was I thinking? I know what I was thinking, but why did I do that? Thinking back, I probably should have done it smarter. You know, this is one example, and if you want to kind of expand on that, why is it important to be a 1099 or a business owner where you get your money first? So I'll let you cover
well,
that.
Well, only if you want to keep your money and you want to keep more of it. That's the only way, and that was why I got into it also. Sure, I mean, many of the consultations that I've had are with people that have an outside job, and then they couldn't make it, so they picked up another part-time job. And you know, you can work your butt off. You can have your wife outside, your husband's outside. You can be working another part-time job. And remember, like Peter just said, all this, you're not clearing what you're making. If I say to you, how much are you making? And you say, well, I make, you know, $20 an hour. You're not clearing $20 an hour. By the time that you clear your money or what you get after they take all those tax deductions, and then a lot of people say, yeah, but I'll get it back at the end of the year, and you think the government's giving you an income tax return. They're not giving you an income tax return. They're giving you your money back because you paid in too much money. Even they tell you that. But the whole point is you're still paying more than you would have to, and I say it's up to you if you like to gift, and I use the word gift, Uncle Sam, whoever he is, and or if you want to keep it in your pocket. This isn't a trick question. I chose a long time ago for many reasons, and it turned out to be really good for me, and it turns out to be very good for a lot of people that I encouraged or was working with, is to have a home-based business so that you can get the write-offs. And there are a lot of write-offs when you have a home-based business. You can write off a portion of your house or where you live. You can write off, I'm a natural health practitioner. I can write off all my nutrients, my vitamins. I can write off, we can go, my ex-husband and I, we'd go traveling or we'd go on a trip. I could write off half the trip when I had a home-based business. And I'm not going to go into how we do it. It's all legal what we've done. All I know is that my husband worked an outside job, and he made a lot of money. And with my home-based business, with all the write-offs I got to deduct from the money that we would have had to gift Uncle Sam, and it was a great trade-off. So we got to keep much more money than if both of us had worked an outside job and had none of these deductions. There are deductions that are created especially for the small and home-based business person that no other job can give you. And that's the key. You want to work harder or do you want to work smarter? And you have to ask yourself, now, is this for everybody? No, being self-employed is not for everybody. But the more and more people that realize that there is no job security anymore, I mean, our parents worked, it was called a 40-40-40 plan. You worked 40 hours a week for for 40 years, and you got a $40 gold watch. That was the 40-40-40 plan. There is no job security anymore. So you're almost forced, actually, into coming up. And if you even see on TV and you read any magazine or anywhere, there are lots of people that are coming up with creative, ingenious ways to do a home-based business. So now a mother can stay home with her kids and still have a home-based business, and the husband can be an outside breadwinner, or he can be owner-operator also, an independent, you know, contractor, and still keep more of what they earn. And that's should be a person's goal in life, is do you want to gift the government, or do you want to keep more of what you earn? And you have to ask yourself that. Which route do you want to go? And then, you know, like I said, come up with an idea and then learn how to keep more of what you earn. And there are tax preparers, CPAs, but most of them don't even know what the the write-offs are for a small and home-based business. Can they do it? Yes, but they don't know all of them. They don't know all the write-offs. And missing one or two write-offs, which I learned the hard way 2 years ago, cost me to give the government $10,000, and that was years ago. And after that point, I learned what the small and home-based business write-offs are. So now I take off everything legally that I'm allowed to take. And, you know, I don't want to say exactly what, but let's just put it this way. I pay everything that I'm legally obligated to pay to IRS. And so you decide if you want to keep everything you own, you can more than likely do that, unless you're making millions of dollars. But even the wealthiest of people, like, you know, say Trump or Bill Gates, I learned years ago, they may pay their tax preparers, CPAs or whatever, and their whole crew $1 million to do it, to bring their tax liability down to single digits. You may think, well, I'm paying them, I don't have $1 million to pay them, and you're also not making what they're making. But the whole point is, when they bring it down to single digits, that is saving them millions of dollars that they didn't have to pay.
Well, believe
and
it or
not, that's why they do it.
Yep, believe it or not, we're running out of time. And one of my heroes.
Oh, we're always running out of time.
I know. Yep, one of my heroes.
Once we get into a good conversation.
That's it. One of my heroes is John McAfee, if you're familiar with John McAfee. Now, John McAfee is a very volatile conversation. And everybody's got their own opinion about John McAfee if they know anything about him. But he ran away, if you will, left the country to go to Belize when he sold his company. Sold his company for $100 million. McAfee's McAfee Software, for those people that are trying to draw the connections. But and now they're trying to put him in jail for tax evasion. And John McAfee has probably paid more in taxes to our government in his lifetime than the average person. I mean, how much do you have to pay? I mean, how much do they want? You know, so John McAfee.
Everything. They want it all.
Exactly. So he was my hero, if you will. Not in a lot of the things that he's done, so not an ultimate hero, but he was like, you know what, I'm taking a stand. And as a result of the things that he's doing, he's probably going to go to jail for the rest of his life for not filing taxes. So for those people that are listening, you got to make sure you file, you got to make sure you do things on time, but you don't have to overpay. And
that's right.
You know, and the bottom line is, I'm going to just wrap this up, and this is a me story. When I was with Electrolux, one of the years, I don't remember when it was, but I had a bonus check. My first ever really big bonus check was $70,000. And the check said, that was a nice bonus check. The check was $70,000. My take home was $50,000. Now, relatively speaking, I had never received a check with two decimals at that degree behind the decimal point. You know what I mean? Prior to that, I think I was in my middle 20s. That was a lot of money. I made probably more money in that bonus check than most people made in a year. And that's not a slam. I earned the bonus. But the bottom line was, I just saw $70,000, $50,000, $20,000 went to somebody. And I'm like, wow. I could do so much more as a business owner with that $20,000. I could employ somebody. I can buy some stuff. I could grind the gears of an economy so much better. Now, by the way, the government does it as well. Somebody's going to take that $20,000 and use it in the government to grind the wheels of some level of economy. I just thought I could do it better. Like, I really thought I could do it better. Because I don't know what they were doing, spending $600 on a hammer.
No, you weren't paying to do something, Peter. You were paying for their salary is what you're paying. When people really understand that you are paying taxes, you know, does not go to run the country or to pay off anything. It goes for the salaries, the overinflated salaries of the people in Congress.
It's insane.
There's very little. very little that go to run the country. I mean, we're in a national deficit that is so huge because they have misappropriated and overinflated, and you know, I mean, of Congress. I mean, all their pensions, my God, after they leave. It's ridiculous. After they leave, they have a pension that's, I think, 80% of what their income, their salary was. I don't even know how any country can afford, especially this one, which is really why they can't afford it, because there's too many people still alive that they're paying pensions for that they never want to retire, because why would they? They only have to work a fraction of the year. They have a wonderful job. They don't have to do anything, work half a year, and they get $160,000-$170,000 and a pension, like from what I understand Pelosi, she gets it from being the speaker and then something else, plus her salary that she gets. We're talking about an incredible fortune. That's one person.
Yep. All right, so we're going to wrap this up, but I got one more thing to say since we're on this, and especially since we're on this. There was a podcast I was listening to just recently. And for those conspiracy lovers, you're going to love this one. Remember when Donald Rumsfeld, the day before 9/11, said in front of whatever Senate or Congress, you know, we have $2.3 trillion. We don't know where it went.
Yep.
Remember that? Well, the way people found out it was that much money is they went into the budgets of all the independent people that do the budgets with the government, and they found the line that said, we don't really know where this went. So I guess on every accounting thing, there's a line that says, we really don't know where this is or where this went, but it's a shortfall. So they added up all the shortfalls in all the government things. So somebody was like really busy pushing buttons on a calculator. That's where they came up with the $2.3 trillion. So it was all the individual reports that were compiled by somebody doing their homework. And that's where they came up with that number. Well, guess what they just passed? Just passed a law. This is true, so this isn't like a rumor. They just passed, at least if the person who said this on the podcast said it was true, and I believe it is. They just said that they just passed a law that now they don't even have to keep that set of books public. So they can actually have a second set of books that shows that number that no one will ever see, so no one will be able to figure out that super big number, what it really is.
I believe they've always had two sets of books, and that's
right.
Why I think it was Ron Paul keeps saying, pushing for audit the Fed.
Yep. Crazy.
They've
all
never
right,
been
so
audited.
That's why
they're
I say
not,
your money. I know. That's why I say your money is better in your pocket than in theirs.
They're
first.
Not accountable for any of the monies. And I don't know if people are aware of this or not. They only collect. There's a lot of people that don't file for one reason or another. And then, you know, not just because they don't owe, because they just don't file. And then there's there are only about like 46% of the people who file from the country, and then some of those don't owe taxes. So there's very small percentage, but it's probably mostly the wealthiest people, the ones who file that pay taxes, that's where their money goes. But then there's also a group of people that are just been from their last generation who are just blindly, but you know, it's like that little saying goes, if you represent yourself in court, you have a fool for an attorney. But it's the same thing. If you're filing your own taxes and doing your own taxes, then you do have a fool for a tax guy. You should never do your own taxes. Peter, don't tell me you do your taxes.
Right. So the key is but also we got to throw this in too. Just because they're an accountant doesn't mean they really understand this industry.
That's
like the
right.
The worst place you can go to is one of those big block stores, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
That
H&R Block. Right. Yeah.
Did I say that? I didn't think I said that.
But I don't have a big problem.
Okay, but because they will charge you up the wazoo and not let you take the deductions that you truly deserve. So
here's something you need to ask yourself, everybody, if anybody's listening to this. How do you know what you don't know?
Right.
That's my favorite line. Oh, we all rate our doctors and our tax guys and everybody the same way. If we pay very little taxes or none at all, then we got a great tax guy. Or same thing with a doctor. Or same thing with a dentist or anything that you're doing. And unfortunately, you have to become an attorney. You have to become a semi-expert on almost anything that you partake in doing.
Right. Absolutely. So guess what? We're done. So let's give your email address for people that want to learn more about what you do, because you usually send them some cool stuff. You'll put them on a newsletter list or whatever. So what's your email address?
My email is theotherplan. That's three words rolled into one. theotherplan@gmail.com. And anybody wants the free recording that I did on asset protection, I'll be more than happy to email it to them. And for anybody that asks me for the free recording or information on this special bulletproof bank account, I am going to give you $100.
Nice. Nice.
Aren't I generous?
Yep. That's okay. Anyway, so
don't forget.
How do they get it? What do they do?
What? How do they get it? They have to email me for it.
So the email address is one more time, because I'm sure somebody's grabbing a pen
and
paper.
The Other Plan. And, Peter, I don't want to see you email me.
I'm not.
The Other Plan at gmail.com.
The Other Plan at gmail.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just the way it sounds, The Other, theotherplan@gmail.com, and my name is Jackie. And email me as to how, what you have to do in order to get this $100.
So what is it that you want them to do?
I want them to email me for the free recording and for the information on the asset on this special bulletproof trust.
Okay.
Bank account, rather. It's a bank account trust.
That's good.
Okay.
Perfect.
All
okay,
right.
Good. So on that note, we are done with our radio show. Thank you very much, Jackie. Very interesting.
You're
usual.
Welcome.
You know, we could do like one of those Jerry Lewis marathons, like me and you. We could go for it.
Sometimes I think you and I are on vaudeville.
We will not do it. That's true. We'll catch you next time. Thanks, everybody. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.